This is Arthur MacArthur, and you're listening to Not Ready for Primetime Wrestling.
Welcome to another edition of Not Ready for Primetime Wrestling, the podcast that will continue to entertain you. I'm Jerry J. Hawk Hawkins, along with Charlie Butter, and this is a special edition of Not Ready for Primetime Wrestling. Joining us this week, our very special guest, he is the host of the Wrestling Cheer podcast. You can hear wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
Justin. Every Thursday.
Justin.
You can refer to me as producer Justin, because not only am I a guest starring on this show, but I'm actually recording it. And I'll probably be doing a little bit of editing and sending it over to Charlie to just add, you know, the theme song and the end song. And that's it. You're welcome.
Appreciate it, man. Appreciate
it. Absolutely. We do appreciate it. We're going to try to keep the mood light for the most part here. We're going to start talking about some of the wrestling news for the first few minutes here. We're not going to dwell on it a lot, but a lot of empty arena shows from a lot of different companies over the last week or so, and that's going to continue for the foreseeable future. Guys, without getting into a lot of real life details, let's talk about that. First off, as far as the empty arena show I've seen between WWE and AEW, AEW did a lot better job with the empty arena concept over the last week. They made sure to have some of the guys in the crowd watching the matches. So you have some kind of noise going on. And the WWE show is just really hard to watch with absolutely no noise going on.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. AEW definitely came out of the gate with like still doing the full production pyro. I thought it was really fun having MJF out there doing like gambling with the guys and that, doing kind of different stuff with that. I thought that was kind of interesting. The little bit of NXT I did watch, I don't know. Like, this week was a recap show, like a review show, or like had stuff on. I didn't really watch it. But even like the Raw and SmackDown shows, from what I saw, like when Stone Cold was like trying to do his normal thing and they cut to like empty seats, it was just weird. Like, that's like a blatant slap in the face of like, hey, look what's going on. And it's like, why are you doing this? It's weird.
Well, often doing the give me a hell yeah thing to an empty crowd. Like, who thought that was a good idea? Like, I don't understand that.
Yeah, that kind of turned me off from watching their product for a while again. I'm just like, why are you doing that? And then I don't know. I wasn't a fan of it. I love Stone Cold. And you know, and I hate Bret Hart, but
Bret Hart says fuck you.
I'm waiting for Justin to comment on that.
Like I said, Bret Hart says fuck you.
I need to watch their the Broken Skull session with them. I heard it was real good. So
yeah, I want to sit down and watch that myself. I think my only issue with this is I know when I try to watch the Undertaker one, I saw how long it was. I think I got about 45 minutes in. I'm like, oh, there's another 45 minutes left, because I was watching it right after whatever pay-per-view. And I was like, all right, I'm going to bed. Fuck this shit. I'll watch it later. So I do want to sit down and watch the Bret Hart one, because that one, that's going to be so much fun, because I love Bret, and really if it comes down to it, you know, Austin might not be in the position he is today if it wasn't for that series with Bret, which
right.
I was just listening to another podcast, and they kind of talked about how, obviously, if it wasn't for Triple H, Stone Cold wouldn't have been in that position that he was in. And then it's kind of believed that if it wasn't for Pillman's injury, he would have been the one to go up against Bret at Survivor Series, not Stone Cold.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting stuff in that era. Like, I'm not super familiar with it. That was just a hair before my time, but I'm sure Jared remembers all that clearly, right, Jared?
Yeah, 1996 was definitely an interesting time with the Triple H thing. That's actually the first I've heard that Pillman would have probably been in the position for the Survivor Series match with Bret, although a healthy Pillman against Bret Hart, oh my god, that would have been so fucking good.
And also, I'm old enough to remember that shit, too. I was a huge fan back then, and to say that Bret Hart versus, not Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels versus Razor Ramon wasn't one of the best is ludicrous.
Did I say that?
You, because you were like, you couldn't get, like, you've tried to go back and watch and you can't get into it. And I watched it like the day of. It's still one of my favorite ladder matches. And it's some of the, like, when it comes to ladder matches, it has some of the most iconic images. And then, like, the rematch, I don't know why.
I thought the rematch was better because they got told not to hit each other with the ladder because I had to be a lot more creative. And I thought it worked better because they had to be more creative with it. But that's my opinion. I know I'm in the minority there.
But I kind of think it's one of those things. The first is always perceived as better coming from all people. Jared, you're a very much, oh, this came first. It's the better one. We can go back to Family Feud on that one. But so that was one of the first ladder matches, unless you're some person I'm not going to name his name, then you think Tracy Smothers versus I forget who was a better ladder match that same weekend, then you're wrong. But that's, to me, one of the best.
I believe it's Smothers against Chris Candido, which I've seen. It's okay, but anybody you think was better than Razor and Shawn is way out there.
I'll say, like, I could probably rewatch Shawn and Razor in the ladder match and be fine. I think I was more talking about the whole the pay per view as a whole. I'm just, a lot of the older pay per views, like, they're classic to some people. Like, to me, like, the classic pay per views, like, I could go back and watch WrestleMania 14 and a lot of that 98 era and love every single pay per view and remember, like, all the stuff that was going on. And I feel like that's probably the same as how you guys feel about some of those pay-per-views, like, in that era. So I get where you're coming from with it. Absolutely. I could still watch that match. I still think it's a great match, like, to this day. Like I said, my favorite ladder match, though, has always been Rock and Triple H, and then also the tag team, the first ever tag team one. I always liked those just because those were my first experiences with a ladder match. When my fandom started.
So. I mean, when it comes to WrestleMania 10 as a whole, because that was my first WrestleMania, and I think the thing that it suffers from, it's really only three matches. Like, if there's three matches, or any matches that get talked about, it's Bret versus Shawn, and Razor versus Shawn. Technically, it's not three matches. It's those two matches and the ending, the moment ending with Bret Hart beating Yokozuna. Other than that, it's fairly forgettable.
Nobody talks about what Vince McMahon did after Bret Hart won.
Nobody talked about that. No, we had the discussion last week.
Yeah.
I need like a grease meter in the down in the corner, just kind of.
No.
You misspoke there, Justin. I think you said Bret and Shawn, of course, and Bret and Owen. I'm sure that's what you meant to say.
Yeah, that's what I meant. It doesn't help. WrestleMania 12 was one of my favorite WrestleManias. Bret, Shawn, Iron Man match, March 31st, 1996 for the WWF Championship, Iron Man match, Anaheim, California, Arrowhead Pond, my 10th birthday. So yes, I always kind of go back. And also the fact that, okay, that happened 2 years later, but the best matches from 2 years prior at WrestleMania 10 were those two. Like, Owen and Bret is awesome. I will always go back and watch a lot of stuff about Owen. I think right after listening to the episode last week, I put on some, like, Owen promos and everything. Like, the Blackheart angle is so good. I wish that would have went a whole lot better. But, yeah, that and the ladder match, I mean, that's just – those are iconic. And my memory was so bad, I thought the pay-per-view started off with those two matches. But, no, there were matches in between them.
I'm really interested in the fact that after Bret left, that they were kind of, I want to say either heard about it or read about it, where they were kind of angling for it to be Owen and Shawn, and something happened and they ended up just going with the Shawn and Stone Cold, or like, or they had to do, was it Owen and they were going to do Owen and Shawn at Rumble, and then something happened, so they just did Taker again. There was something there, like, I like everything that led up to it. It made so much sense for like Owen Hart to get that shot and beat Shawn after everything that happened with like the screw job. I thought that would have been a really good angle for them to take off, and like that could have made Owen the man, but that would have delayed the Stone Cold era. So it's kind of interesting how things worked out for that.
There was also, I think it was the last Raw of that year was Owen versus Shawn. Because the whole thing after the screw job was Owen was coming out and interfering in Shawn Michaels' matches. Maybe not directly after, but there was just this stretch where he was coming out kind of like street clothes and like attacking Shawn. So eventually Vince comes out, calls out Owen. He comes out from the crowd. And then there's like a nice promo battle back and forth. You know, one of the main things Vince says is, you're not going to come through the crowd anymore. You're endangering our fans. And it has nothing to do with Shawn Michaels. It has all to do with you endangering our fans. So you're going to come out here. And, you know, they get into that whole shit. And like, he has a really good promo where he basically says he's the Blackheart. And it's just, oh, it's, I going back and like, that could have been the launch off for Owen. The only issue is, like you said, it was that title reign for Shawn that got ended by Stone Cold. The only thing you could have done is keep Owen hot during that time, and Owen's the one that beat Stone Cold. But then I think you have all the shit that goes on between Owen and Austin, like behind the scenes shit. I don't know how much they liked each other, especially after that SummerSlam incident. And as far as you always hear from Austin is like, well, Owen never apologized. And to me, something's off about that. As far as everything you always hear about Owen, the only bad thing you ever hear was he didn't apologize. Why?
Well, that's why I'm curious if they get into that on the Broken Skull sessions. But let's rebook this, okay? Think about this. So at Royal Rumble, because they, like you said, Shawn and Owen had their match at the December before, and I believe Shawn won that, right? Because I don't think it was a title match. It was just
it was like a title match. Owen won by DQ when Triple H came out and hit Owen with a crutch. And that gangwayed into the Triple H Owen Hart feud that went for like the next month.
Okay.
He hit him with wait a minute. He hit him with Crush. He actually picked up Crush and hit him
with a crutch with the T.
Okay. So let's rebook this. So let's say Royal Rumble, there's a rematch, no DQ, something crazy like that. Owen wins the belt. Might as well, right? So Owen's the champion now. Stone Cold wins the Rumble. So now you got Owen and Stone Cold at WrestleMania after what happened at SummerSlam. Now this time it's for the WWF title. That could have been fucking crazy.
I see where you're coming from, but I feel like it wasn't as big of a win. It wouldn't have been as big of a win because it was Austin beating Shawn, who had just had the torch passed to him, what, 2 years prior?
Right.
I could see that. I just think about that, though. That could have been really fucking interesting, that alternate timeline where then, like, Owen and Stone Cold could have feuded, like, after Mania for a little bit instead of, like, a one and done like Shawn had. And by the time Shawn came back, Stone Cold was gone.
The other thing you have to think about, though, if you do put Owen over Shawn at the Royal Rumble, it really going to be time for Owen to lose the belt at that point coming off of that. That would have been a 2 month, about 10 week reign, maybe January 18th, March 29th. I mean, you're looking at a 2 month reign for Owen Hart when he just got that big win in revenge for what they did to his brother. That's too quick a turnaround.
But
as much as I would have liked to have seen Owen win that belt, and as much as it would have made sense for him to win that belt, there's just too many other factors going to go that way.
But what they could have done is had it where Shawn loses the title to Owen, but somehow Shawn gets into the title match. Make it a triple threat. Or you go it with it, Shawn keeps the title, but somehow Owen gets himself in the title match. It's a triple threat. You have Austin beating Shawn, but you don't have him beating Owen. So then now with Shawn out of the picture, it's okay. Now you have to worry about Owen. But I think one of the biggest things for that title reign was like, it was Austin era, so we need to keep him strong. And if you want to talk about short title reigns, I remember a one-day title reign not too far after this with Kane beating Austin and then losing it the next night on Raw.
In Cleveland, Ohio.
Was that in Cleveland? Okay.
which we've covered on this show.
But yeah, it's part of our Cleveland project.
That was a watch along. You probably didn't listen to it.
Probably not. I always listen to intros, though. But you got to realize after a while, you forget shit that's said on podcast.
Right.
It's true. It's absolutely true. Oh, so that could have been pretty interesting. I don't know. What else do we want to talk about? What else? What else did you have for us, Jared? Did you have? Was there more? I don't know how we got off on that tangent, but
fine to go off on.
Circle back around on that. I know GCW is running a show right now, as we speak, in front of not very many people. I know Black Label Pros.
Not too many people, but.
probably too many.
I'm okay about that. I'll move on.
I'm curious to see how the Black Label Pro show goes. I'm excited for that. I haven't donated towards it, but I probably might throw them $5 just because, you know, I love Black Label Pro. So
Freelance Pro Wrestling is also running a show. I don't know if it's actually still going on. They got a cease and desist, I heard, from WWE.
I think it was for the logo or whatever, though, right? Because it was like an in your house, but it was in your warehouse.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They changed the name of the show to, I think it's Warehouse Ward now, but yeah, that show's still going.
It's so stupid. Like, WWE hasn't used in your house in fucking, what, 20-something years? Get the fuck out of my face with that shit. It's so stupid.
They did put out the DVD at one point, so that would be the most recent time they've used it.
That's true. I do have the DVD, actually, sitting right next to me as we speak.
That's still got to be 10 years or so at this point, though. Like,
I don't know. I'd say, like, maybe 6. Maybe even less than that. Maybe 5. I don't know.
I'm going to use the power of the internet to figure that out, honestly, because I'm curious. April 30th. It doesn't say what year.
2013.
Seven years.
I mean, that's what I thought it was going to be on this side of 10 years, the shorter side. Because I remember it coming out, and it was just kind of like out of nowhere, and it was in fairly recent memory. DVD releases. Remember those from WWE? I kind of miss them.
I agree. I miss them, too. The only thing they're linking now are the pay-per-views. I'm like, that's the one thing I don't want to buy. Like, if you actually release the classic DVD compilation, I'll buy those.
What are you doing right now?
I stood up for a second because I faded out. That's why. Stretching my back.
It's not for me. It was not. It's like, I wasn't a huge fan of, like, the DVD collections of, like, oh, the best of this, the best of that. No, give me the documentaries on wrestlers, which those I loved. It was best when it was about wrestlers who don't wrestle anymore for whatever reason. Like, the Punk one is one that everybody remembers, but when you had, like, somebody like Brett, when he did his, for example, it was like they were able to cover a lot of his career in it. And granted, they did come out with other ones after that. Like, they came out with, like, at least two more. One was a compilation of matches, and the other one focused on the family. But it was cool to get stuff like that, but when you got stuff like, oh, here's one on Eddie Guerrero, and it's like, well, he's going to die in a couple years, so you still have other stuff to talk about, but you won't do it later because you've already done the bulk of it, and it's just going to look bad.
Well, it's like when they released that first Savage DVD, everybody was, like, upset because there was no documentary, and it was just... here come matching, and then they released the documentary, and everybody's like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. You know, one that they've still not put on the network that was, like, one of the last major ones they released on a wrestler was the Kevin Owens one. And it pisses me off because they had all those other ones on the network for the longest time. The Kevin Owens one talks about his time in IWS and, like, has Beef Wellington on it and stuff like that, and I've never fucking seen it, and I really want to see it. Because I could never get it on Blu-ray, so I never bought it on DVD. Because at that point, I was only buying Blu-ray.
I was like, dude, you worked at a Walmart at that time.
And I saw it on DVD once or twice, but we never got it on Blu-ray. And then online for Blu-ray, it was super expensive. And I'm like, I'm not paying like $30 for their Blu-ray.
Okay.
It should be. It should have been. Go ahead.
I'm just going to throw this out there real quick. Hot take. WWE's DVDs were better. Only because of packaging. And that's why I love them. you could have the same DVD and Blu-ray set, but they actually put effort into the DVD set. The Blu-ray set was just always, here's the case.
I like the where like it folded open and have like the, yeah, I get that. Like I liked those back in the day, and I still have a bunch of them like that I've kept for ever now. Like the Stone Cold one, that's one of my favorites that they did with the Stone Cold documentary, and then like all the bonus content. That's one of my favorites that they did. Now that you mention the Bret Hart one,
ironically Stone enough, Cold. I just realized my Bret Hart one's right beside me in my little cabinet because it's signed.
Someday I'll have my Stone Cold one signed. Someday.
Good luck.
I don't think it's funny that the most angry he ever got at me when he found out I met Stone Cold at Cauliflower Alley and I didn't tell him. Like, it's that big a deal.
Yeah,
let me pick that name up I just dropped. Like, come on.
Yeah, you like I was like we had become friends on Facebook. We had known each other for like I want to say almost a year at that point. And like I was randomly looking through your Facebook one day and I like with all your pictures from Cauliflower Alley and one of them was with Stone Cold. And I was like, "How come you never told me you met Stone Cold Steve Austin?" And you're like, "I didn't know I had to tell you."
I want to meet Stone Cold so much more now.
I thought you do it before Charlie so you can pick them off. Yep.
Oh man,
yeah,
I'm just praying like Steel City does it one time. That'd be cool. Like I could make that trek someplace that's like not a terrible trek for me to go to, like a WrestleMania, like a WrestleCon or something. I don't want to make a trek somewhere crazy.
Well, it depends on where WrestleMania and everything is. Like if they did one in Indy, that's easy drive to go to if they ever would do it.
True. I don't know, man. I guess we're going two nights WrestleMania this year, so that's kind of fun.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. And then there's always been talk of like, what if, and we just seen Wrestle Kingdom. All right, we're going to do two nights. So now WWE is kind of like, we got nothing to lose. Might as well do it.
I remember, did you see the rumor thing that was released about how they have to try to satisfy the WrestleMania contract for their insurance, but they think that the state will still cancel them and then they can move it to like June 9th and have it at Madison Square Garden. I pray to God that happens because I don't want to see like Drew McIntyre win the belt to a empty arena. That's just off-putting. I don't want to see that. I want him to have his big moment in front of a fucking crowd and it just be crazy.
I agree with you in that aspect, but at the same time, like most of these feuds they've got going, I don't want to see them try to fork another 2 or 3 months out of it just to get the card done in an arena.
Yeah.
Like you can do it with Drew and Brock because Brock's not on there that much, but like Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens are gonna have a really good match, but you can't draw that feud out another 2 months. It's already running short.
I'm perfectly fine with it. I know that I'm in like a group chat with some people and it's kind of funny how hypocritical they are is because they were bitching about WWE doing it and saying like Vince McMahon has his ego and everything and how, I mean, which he does, but trying to say like, he doesn't care if his workers get sick. And then I was like, what about UFC? Like they're doing the same thing. And he's like, oh, I think the exact quote was Dana White is just as big of an asshole as Vince. And about 24 hours of this from this recording, they were praising AEW on how great the show was. And I'm like, oh, so Tony Khan's not an asshole for doing all this shit. What the fuck? But okay, whatever.
I think it's because Tony Khan openly said he's not forcing anybody to go to work. He Marco Stunt stayed home because he was sick. And he didn't want to get anybody else sick. He doesn't know if it's what's going on. So he just stayed home. He refrained from going. Tony Khan said he's not making anybody work. If they don't want to work, they don't have to. So if they didn't have anybody except for the elite, then they probably would have just done a show with them if they wanted to be there. So I don't.
Why would?
I think that's why they didn't. They weren't shitting on him because he came out and said, I'm not going to make anybody work that doesn't want to work. Like,
but who,
these other people are probably doing it.
But who says Vince is forcing anybody to work?
That's time, true.
With that, everything going on, all you have to openly say is, I'm sick. I don't feel good. And then guess what? There's going to be no pressure to work.
Right. Well, I mean, I don't know, man. You're right. There's no saying that, you know, Vince didn't say, oh, I'm not going to make you work if you don't want to, if you're not comfortable. We don't know that. But specifically, Tony Khan came out and said that. So I can kind of see where, like, you already have this, like, preconceived notion of Vince. So why not just kind of roll with it? I get where you're coming from. Absolutely. We don't know. He could have said that, too. I'm sure they probably did.
But at the end of the day, it was more the premise of, like, oh, like, how dare you still run shows? It's almost like these wrestlers need to stay home and everything, which I get. But when you are a wrestling company, and not even counting the independents, which they're trying to run shows for the workers so they can get some sort of money. But you have WWE and AEW where it's not as needed. So it's like, oh, well, they should, or even UFC, it's like, well, they shouldn't risk it. But when AEW runs it, it's like, oh, okay. It's not, they shouldn't work. Because this is what I get really annoyed with a lot of wrestling fans. Like, if you don't like WWE, I get it. But try to watch your biasness with it. Because I've seen people with, like, that, where it's just like, oh, screw WWE for doing this, but they're praise AEW. And I've heard people utter the words like, oh, nobody cares about the XFL. And it's just because they don't like Vince McMahon and they don't like the WWE. It's like, well, I personally don't put those two things together. Granted, I know Vince runs the XFL, but I don't look at it as like, well, WWE's bad, so XFL's bad. We can't like the XFL. No, I'm a football fan. So who wants to see the XFL? Me, a football fan. The same guy
who... That's right. You can like brownies, and you can like ice cream, and you can put those two things together.
Yeah. Yeah. I still don't. We talk about. It seems like we talk about it every week, but I still don't get that concept of if you like this company, you can't like this company. I like what I want to like, bitch. Like, fuck you.
Yeah, but I mean, they're not going out and saying that, but it's just more or less it was an open conversation. Like, well, nobody wants the XFL, and I'm just like, fuck you. I want the XFL because I'm a football fan.
Yeah, I know people that are football fans that were all excited to have other football to watch when NFL wasn't on, so...
Which...
I mean...
The biggest thing that annoys me about all that, though, is people are like that. I'm like, have you tried watching the CFL? Granted, is it the exact same game? No. It has its own differences. Like, fucking three downs. That's weird to get used to. Receivers able to be in motion before the snap, but it's got to be obviously behind the line and all that kind of shit. Is it different? Yeah, but you know, as a football fan, I get a couple extra months because the seasons do run together, but it's better than nothing.
And that's the beautiful thing about wrestling is there are so many different types of wrestling out there. Now you can hate on certain aspects of wrestling all you want to. God knows I've done it, but there's something I'm going to enjoy out there. I don't have to watch shit I don't like. And I don't have to tell everybody, why the fuck are you watching this shit? What's what you want to watch?
We get it.
Well, I swear to God, if you're a referee and you wear fucking shorts to the ring, you son of a bitch, you should not be in the business.
I personally hate that because that goes against everything that I was trained, but that company wants to do it, more power to them.
Hey, if there's any proof that I can change my tune about things and people can change. Remember how much I absolutely hated that certain wrestlers didn't wear boots and that they wrestled barefoot. And now two of them are two of my favorites to watch. So how about that?
Well, soon we'll try to get Jared into comedy wrestling. So then it'll all be fine.
I don't hate comedy wrestling. I hate bad comedy wrestling. I hate unfunny comedy wrestling. I'm a fucking Dan Hauken, Mark, and you're going to tell me I don't like comedy wrestling. Come on.
I wouldn't use the word say that you like funny comedy wrestling because comedy is subjective. Like, you got to be a little more descriptive. I mean, because there's obviously bad, bad comedy wrestling out there.
Okay, that's fair, but I don't know how else to really word it. They're comedy wrestling that makes sense based on the product you're running and comedy wrestling that doesn't make sense based on the product you're running. And I like the comedy wrestling that makes sense based on the product you're running.
I don't know. When you think about it, wrestling doesn't make sense. It really doesn't. when people try to get on it about like, oh, about this realism and everything, and I'm like, especially at independent shows, it's like, all right, Wrestler one hates wrestler two. Why aren't they beating the fuck out of them in the locker room? Oh, because it has to be in the ring. Like, let's really, like, dissect what professional wrestling is if we're going to get on our soapbox and be like, well, it has to be like this and blah, blah, blah. Because it's like, dude, this is, I don't want to steal, like, Vince's thing, but, you know, this is movies, this is television, this is entertainment, it's scripted, you're going to have those aspects.
I'll give you an example of what I came by. It may need to make sense with the product you're running. Look at a company like Lucha Underground. Lucha Underground came flat out and said, we are a TV show that's just going to happen to have some wrestling matches on it.
Yeah.
And they did a lot of telenovela type of get backstage. It made sense for what they were doing and what their product was. And you watch Impact a few years ago when Matt Hardy started doing the broken gimmick. Like, two-thirds of the show would be that kind of thing. And then the broken Matt Hardy stuff on the compound was so far away from what else they were doing. It's like, okay, this is different and I appreciate that, but this had nothing to do with anything else I've watched on this show. That's what I kind of mean by, if it makes sense with the product you're running, absolutely go ahead and do it. Like, I know a lot of people have shit on Chikara in the past because it's silly and it's comedy wrestling, but that's what they are. You can't bitch if the company kept their kids thinking what we are and then they do that. You really can't bitch about that.
In Impact's defense, they were in a phase where they were trying to get anything to stick. So they were doing any and everything that they could do. And ironically enough, that's like the only thing that worked.
Yeah, somehow. And that's true. And more power to them for making that work. But that took me out of their product for the longest time. And I'm watching an hour and a half of a certain type of show, and then all of a sudden here's Matt Hardy, and I have no, it's like I'm watching a completely different show at that point.
I don't know. It all doesn't make sense.
I mean, you brought up the point to me before about Rhea Locomo. What about the Irish Whip? Okay, fuck. Yeah.
Yep, there you go. It's the be-all, end-all argument right there, the Irish Whip.
Yeah, that's... I mean, if you think of a lot of the stuff with wrestling, it's just like, okay, like, I've often thought about this, like, deathmatch. There's no rule. Okay, if this was a feud that we have to go to a deathmatch and we hate each other, why the fuck am I not getting a gun and killing you?
Because that's murder.
Murder, death, kill, motherfucker.
It's not a murder match. It's a death match.
I remember it was SummerSlam 89, I believe. Somebody hit somebody with a chair outside the ring. And Jake Ventura's like, why is that a DQ? And Shivani's like, outside the ring. And Ventura goes, so if I get a knife and stab you, it's okay because it's outside the ring?
Well, nobody's going to argue with a sexual tyrannosaurus, so, you know, just gotta watch.
Oh, man. Any other soapboxing anybody wants to get on tonight?
Yeah, let's talk about IFHY and Alexander Wolf.
not Jonathan Wolf or Airwolf. Like...
I'm gonna bring that German fella some McChickies. Apparently he likes them.
Don't get him heated. Don't get him heated.
Oh, man. That's the other message I sent you to Tao. It's like, you're never gonna let me live that down, ever. It'll be every time you gotta discuss IFHY. Like, oh yeah, by the way.
I just had to throw it in that for this recent one because I thought
it was funny. Made me laugh so hard. You got me on it. I was like, oh, damn it. So fun. Mouse had to know about it, though, because he definitely commented when he got, like, said he was heated about it. So it'll be real fun to have them on someday and then have that discussion again.
Eventually, I want to have all IFHY on, but that's very hard, and I want to do it in person.
Yeah, that's gonna be some super good luck. Well, I don't know, man. Depending on how everything works out, the SCI is supposed to be the weekend before Absolution this year, so just saying.
Yeah, I don't know if I can swing a whole weekend away, especially that far away, because we're probably driving.
Well, I mean, if we don't go to anything else this year because of all this shit, so we don't get to go to Indiana for any other shows, I don't see why we couldn't take a little, you know, 4-day vacation to Tennessee. Just saying.
I only have 2 vacation days this year.
Oh, that's true. Well, then we would have to miss, what, Crux on Thursday? We could just do Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I don't know. We'll figure it out. We got like 5 months. It's all good.
Yeah, I don't know. I want to go. I really do. And I could knock out so many interviews. I don't think all of IFHY will be there, though, because there's so many of them.
I don't know, man. That's gonna. I know at least Wolf and Billy. So I mean, you got to figure the others ain't gonna be too far behind. That's gonna be a big weekend for that area in their wrestling. And I feel like IFHY will have their hands in a lot of stuff going into that. So that could be. I don't know. Something to think about. It could be a fun weekend.
But don't forget, Alley Cat's a member, and she's pretty busy. She's not guaranteed to be there.
That's true, I guess.
That's why they've said that they haven't had any particular moment where all the members have been together at the same time. There was one show that they were all at, but like one of the members was late and the other one left early, and they missed each other. So other like that was the closest. I forget what. It might have been a Bizarro show.
That makes sense, because that seems like the one where they usually are, most of them are at, is Bizarro. So
yeah. So far as I know, it hasn't happened. Maybe if they have that Bizarro show Labor Day weekend, we can squeeze that in.
Maybe. I might have to take a nap this time, though, at least on the way there. I'll stay up on the way home, the 6 hours home, but I'm going to need a nap on the way there.
Was it 6 hours?
To Indianapolis? I think so. I think it was longer than the other, because it's down in southern Indiana, so...
It might have been kick hour for you and like 5 for him or something.
That's what I was thinking.
Oh yeah, maybe. Well, no, because it's 5 to Black Label, but it's 6 for me. So maybe it was 6 for you and 7 for me.
Looking it up right now, it is a 5.5 hour drive there. On the way down though, we did hit some traffic, and
yeah, that car that was on fire, yeah.
Which we're not kidding. There was a car on fire, it was like ashes by the or burnt metal by the time we got there. But it was
horrible. Yep, but it was stopped up for a good chunk of time, and we were going a pretty good speed when we realized, oh hey, all those cars just stopped. Yep. Certain people went flying in the back seat. And...
yeah, so
it was pretty scary, but we made it out all right. So all good. Yeah, that was a fun day though. Like that was right at the beginning when my back like had first been screwed up. And what's really messed up is that was what, August, September?
It was Labor Day weekend. I want to say
September.
Maybe the show was September 1st, or the next day was September 1st.
So think about this. I think that was like the first week that my back was messed up. From that week all the way until the middle of January, my back was messed up. Excruciating pain every day.
That's nuts.
Yeah. I didn't even, just thinking back on it now, I'm like, holy shit, that's insane. And all because I was wearing the boots that they made me wear at work instead of my regular shoes. Once I switched back to my regular shoes, within 2 weeks, the pain was gone, and to this day, it's gone. It was all over some fucking boots that I had to wear at work. That's so crazy to me. I wish, was pretty miserable.
I wish mine was that easy, but for me, it's if I go to bed every night and put a heating pad on for at least a little bit, that helps my back feel better. And if I actually go out and exercise, that helps
too. Yeah. Yeah, I want to get a new bed this year. It's kind of being held up with the other goals. We'll see what happens here. But that was one of my main goals this year, was to get a new bed so that I could sleep better and not have so many. Because I still wake up and I'm like, I like turn certain ways and like hear my whole back just pop and make noise. And ugh. Anyway, back to wrestling. I'm going off talking about that. So, Jared, if we go down, you got some vacation time. You gonna be able to go to down to Tennessee for a weekend?
Which weekend is that exactly?
For the first weekend in August.
I don't get any paid time off at all, but I can probably request a week somewhere. I'm still debating whether I Now, can they reschedule Cauliflower Alley for September if I'm going to do still do that this year or do something different? So, okay, well, can we get closer to it?
Okay. Because that could be, I think that'll be my birthday weekend, too. I think my birthday is on Sunday that weekend, I think.
About so, right?
Yeah, it's on the Sunday, so that'd be probably the day Southern Underground Pro runs, right?
Should be.
Because they're usually Sunday, so yeah, that'd be my birthday. It'd be on the 2nd. That'd be cool.
Also depends what the baseball schedule looks like once they get that settled, too. So.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you also have the from Tennessee, the 8-hour drive, but with the time change, 9-hour drive.
Well, at the end of April, I get a week's vacation, so I can take it. Like, I figure I'll take some extended, like, weekends, like throw one on a Friday, one on a Monday, have a 4-day weekend kind of deal. Extend out, like, holiday weekends, take an extra day. Try to do stuff that, like, if they do Bizarro Labor Day weekend again, like, I could take, like, an extra day there so I don't have to jump back into work the next day. I think that's what we did the last time. I was off on that Monday, so that's why it was really easy for us to go on that Sunday. So.
And it's not like you didn't do an 8-hour drive to Chicago a couple of years ago.
No. This is true, and we did it with, like, no issues. That was a straight shot, boom, boom, done. So I think that's why I like the drive to Black Label, because it feels like it's a straight shot, almost very similar to the Chicago trip. So
yeah, we pretty much do a straight shot to Portillo's. That's where we've stopped both times. We almost made it perfect of, like, coming back straight both times, but we had a couple of issues the second time back.
Yeah. I was arguing with Trey Lamar. Hey, man, I'm usually a road warrior with that. I know you'll vouch for me on it. This last time I was just, like, tired, and that was such a long day, and, like, I fell asleep for a couple seconds or a couple minutes, I don't know, and then I needed to go to the bathroom. Like, I didn't go to the bathroom the entire, like, day, okay? The entire day I didn't go. We didn't stop. Like, I don't even think I went at Portillo's before the wrestling show, and I needed to go at the wrestling show and never went.
Then you took so much time. And you weren't thinking. You got back in the car. We go down the road. I think you're like, oh, I didn't get a drink. Fuck. Cause you wanna-
Yeah, because that was the other thing I needed. I was really thirsty.
And the only thing you had was energy drinks, and you didn't want to drink those.
No, like, I had had so many at that point. Like, because I think at that time I was drinking the Reigns, because I got one for Eric Stevens. And I had like two or three that day, and like that shit makes me, that's the only energy drink I've ever had that made me actually jittery and stuff. So I'm like, yeah, no, I can't have any more of that. Like, I don't need to be all jittery and like fucked up from it. So I just wanted water. It's just ice cold water. It's all I wanted. And a nap. And I got the water, kind of got a nap, but oh man.
Okay, so let me ask you guys this question here. You guys have done a lot of road trips. I've done a lot of road trips. Favorite match that you had to travel more than, say, 2 hours to see?
Ooh, good question. Let me see.
I would say Nick Gage versus Brett Eisen.
I would go with either Danhausen and Effie, or Violence is Forever against the Workhorsemen.
That one was almost on mine, but I'm trying to figure out, like, what match did I hear? And I was like, oh, I'm going this far. I'm going to this place. And
true, true.
It was that Southern Underground Pro Show, Nick Gage versus Brett Eisen. I was going to skip it at first because I wanted to take that trip with tax money. And as soon as I found out I was in January, I'm like, I can't do that. And then it was announced Nick Gage, and I'm like, I'm coming. Like, I have to see Brett Eisen, Nick Gage in person, like, no doubt about it.
Yeah, I wish I didn't have to. I had just started my job, too, or I would have been on that trip with you. What about you, Jared?
I got a say, Samoa Joe and CM Punk in Dayton, the first 1-hour draw they did in ROH. I'm partial to, I have a cough buffer hour draw anyway. I'm not the first one. I think it's still the only one I've seen in Perkin, actually. And the match just kind of flew by in Perkin where you didn't realize it was an hour.
Yeah, that, I think we've discussed that before. You've thrown that on as one of your all time. That's a hard one to beat, honestly. You think about the two guys in that match. Yeah, that's.
Yeah, that might be my favorite match I've ever seen live, much less on a long trip like that. But
I'm trying to think of places that I've been to where I've had to travel far. Like I've seen one show in Philly, one show in the Pittsburgh area, IWC. Indiana has now been six, one in Tennessee. I think that's where I'm at outside of Ohio.
I've done outside of Ohio. I've done Pennsylvania. Did Chicago, done Vegas. Might be it for a wrestling show out of state, both three states.
I was supposed to be going to a show in Detroit, which would have
knocked me too.
Which would have knocked that one off the list.
Michigan. I did that Evolve seminar and I stayed for the Evolve show that night, so I can add Michigan to that list.
I'm surprised I've seen so many in Indiana. But then again, that was my first road trip. The very first Heroes and Legends. And then I went back to Fort Wayne. There was a charity show there that I went to. And then PWF in Southern Indiana, two Black Label Pros, and Bizarro.
Okay, so here's another completely random question for you, because I'm filling time at this point.
You don't have to point it out, just fill it.
Any wrestling reference you can think of that are outside of a wrestling show, like a sitcom, just kind of throwing in a random reference that you remember? And I'll preface it with one that I keep thinking of. An episode of News Radio one time where Jimmy going, oh, what's the name of that guy? It's going to be bigger than the name of, what's his name? The guy that's really big. Andre the Giant? No, the one that's not dead. Hulk Hogan? That's the one. Anything like that you can kind of remember, just kind of threw you, there'd be a wrestling reference there.
Not that I could think of.
My favorite's always the ones on The Good Place. Those are always so good. Which, by the way, I finished on Tuesday. I finally watched the last four episodes. I was pretty happy with the finish.
Yeah, that was definitely a very satisfying finale. I do have to say that.
Yeah, like the references they threw in for wrestling were really freaking great in that, I swear to God.
And the best part is, a lot of them, like, you actually had to pay attention to catch, too. They would throw Easter eggs in the background, because if you weren't really watching, you'd miss some of them.
Yeah, like they were, like the Randy Savage International Airport was a great one. I know there was a couple, there was one really good one in those last four episodes, because it made me, clap and laugh when I heard it. I can't remember what it was, though. I want to say it was when they first got to heaven, or to the good place.
Would it be when Steve Austin's bedpan from the...
Yes, Steve Austin's bedpan. Yes, that was so funny.
Justin going, what the fuck are you guys talking about right now?
No, I was thinking, you know what was a really good finale? It was that How I Met Your Mother show.
Oh, fuck you. Robin was a bitch, dude. Fuck that.
Oh, wow. I thought you agreed that it made sense. And now you're going to go back on all that and get mad again?
It makes sense, but Robin was a bitch. Fuck that.
How exactly was she a bitch?
Okay. Well, let's see. She almost walked out of Barney on their wedding to get with Ted. She agreed with Barney they were going to leave the people they were seeing because they could be together. And then she didn't leave the Cal Penn character, whatever. I can't remember his name off the top of my head. She yelled at Patrick every time Patrick opened her mouth. Do I need to continue?
I mean, that was funny. That part was funny. I mean, if you want to take real world aspects of like characters, or like, are they good people? And I pretty much think everyone wants everybody on that show. Like, Barney is a male whore. Like,
Barney can peek a shit. I've always said Barney can peek a shit. Ted realistically could peek a shit too.
Yeah. Lily, I think I'd have to really re-examine everything, but I think probably she could probably come off as a bitch. And then I don't know about Marshall.
Yeah, Marshall would be the one perk, and you might be able to call a good perk out of that.
Because he was the one that did a lot of immoral things that he knew of, but he was like, for his career, but he just like knew in that it's what he had to do to get what he wanted. And even hell, even at the end, it almost kind of mirrors the show. You know, he wants to be this environmental lawyer, but ends up becoming a judge.
Right.
Judge Fudge.
Yeah, and even when he is making those decisions that he knows are wrong, like, he's really wrestling with those decisions. Like, I really don't want to do this to go get my character, but we need the money. Like here, there's at least a moral dilemma with him. Everybody else is just like, oh, that's what I'm going to fucking do. But that show really was full of really horrible people, if you actually look at it.
I think most shows are, though. Yeah. I mean, look at like, Eastbound and Down. Like, Kenny Powers is such a piece of shit, but it's just funny how he... Like, to me, it was always funny, like, how he was such a piece of shit and how he reacted to everybody around him. And it just, I don't know, like, I didn't relate to him at all, but it was just funny the situations he'd get into because he was a piece of shit.
I could even pick one of my other favorite shows, The Office. Like, look at a lot of those characters. You know, Michael. Yeah. Michael was so horrible in the first season, they had to nerf him down. They were like, we can't keep doing this. We have to have him something that's likable. He was still bad, but like nowhere near as like cringeworthy. As that first season.
And I have a hard time watching that first season because it makes me cringe so bad, and like I feel embarrassed for him. And I hate that feeling. And like, there's shows have stuff like that in it. I can't watch them because it makes me like feel like nervous and embarrassed for them. And then I can't watch stuff. I can't watch cringe stuff.
Luckily, that first season is very short. Like it's a half season, if that. I think it might be even shorter. But that's another show that I think is great. Like I said, a lot of those characters are. But going back to How I Met Your Mother, yeah, a lot of them are bad people. But the story, like when people bitch about that show, I've heard some valid criticism. But at the end of the day, like it is called How I Met Your Mother. Why is he telling this kid the story? There has to be some reason, not just how he actually met the mother. And then it was like, well, why is he telling the story too? Of like, well, why isn't the mother telling the story? Why isn't just, mom, can you get to the point? There's this really drawn out reason of why they had to tell the story. They choreographed a lot of stuff throughout that series too, that basically hinted a lot of, no, Ted and Robin are supposed to be together. The one thing that I always go with too, like, there was the point in the series where they said if they were both single past a certain age, they would get together. And I think that was a really big foreshadowing to, of like, they're going to get together because they're going to hit an age where they're both single. And I think that like a lot of the stuff early on that like they didn't gel with ended up later on, like it wasn't a big thing. Like the whole, well, Robin didn't want kids. Well, she actually learned to love his kids. And the fact that later on too, that she couldn't have kids, that makes it better because Ted already has kids. So there's like so much that went perfectly together. To this day, that's one of my top series finales. That, The Office, and the actual series finale of Scrubs. Not the last stupid season that they still call Scrubs. The one that actually ends the way it's supposed to with the creator. That right. I love.
I like I said last time we had John in this type of format. Yeah, the finale of How I Met Your Mother does make sense when you look at everything else. But Robin became so unlikable those last couple of seasons that you started thinking, thank God Ted doesn't end up with a woman. And then that winds up being the ending. It's like, fucking really?
I had kind of a thing going with a friend of mine almost throughout that whole series. And one of her biggest things for a while was like, the mom's Robin. And I was like, no, it's definitely not Robin. They wouldn't have the first episode go, oh, she's not the mom. That's how I met your Aunt Robin. Not, oh, that's how I met Robin, but you don't go in. If it's like they openly said, it's not the mom. And then I think also too with the same person, she said, there's the St. Patrick's Day episode where Ted bumps into a girl at the club that night.
Yeah, I'm about to bring this up actually.
She swore up and down like that exact woman that she bumped into was the mom, and I'm like, no, there's no way in hell that's the mom. Like, which even when they went back and talked about, like, she was there, but like they never said it was that woman. The only sad part about this story is a couple months after How I Met Your Mother ended, my friend passed away.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of I was happy. Like, she did get to see the finale, and we get to have, like, conversations about it, but that's, like, one memory I'll always have of her.
Yeah. The best part about that show is they did foreshadow a lot of stuff that you don't realize they foreshadow until you go back and rewatch it. Like Ted Meek, a stripper, and the stripper's real name ends up being Tracy, which is ends up being the mother's real name. And that's the first geek and throwaway thing that wound up happening. They even foreshadowed Marshall's dad dying. It's like a future thing where they're all at a family dinner and Marshall's dad's not there. All that kind of stuff that if you're paying attention after the fact, you catch, but you never would have thought of on first watch.
Another show that has lots of unlikable people, but it's a really funny show. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
They are all fucking horrible fucking piece of trash people. But goddamn it, if that show isn't the funniest goddamn thing on TV right now.
My only issue with that show, because I tried to get into it like so many years ago, it was never a show that I could hardcore binge. Like, I could watch a couple episodes at a time, but either I would get bored or like it just felt dirty to keep watching because of how like those episodes could be. But, like, I'd watch a couple episodes and be like, all right, I'm good for now.
Oh, the gang finds a dumpster baby. Oh yeah, this is great. Yeah, I would say you got to take it like a season at a time, but don't watch more than like a season at a time, because I think they only did like 10 episodes a season or something, half hour episodes. So like you can get through it in like 5 hours. Little binge session there. But I haven't watched the most recent season. I need to do that because it's all on Hulu. My new favorite show that I'm actually going to watch tonight when we get done with this is Dave with Lil Dicky. It's really good. I highly recommend it. If you have Hulu, check it out.
I've been really
actually Mouse enjoys it too. A little tie into your episode that released this week on Thursday with Mouse.
I've been really bad at watching TV shows. Like, I've gotten out of TV a little bit over the past so many years. Especially, I think it's happened when I went over the road. Like, now I only have a handful of shows that I watch. And, like, one of them, I think the only show that I stay up on is right now Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And that's a show that didn't come back until, like, a month or two ago. And I've been waiting on.
And the same people that brought you The Good Place, if you need a tie-in. So.
Holler! Oh, man, I just found my new favorite hat and T-shirt.
Let me guess, it's Danhausen.
No.
It's Joey.
You with your little man crush on Danhausen.
You want, it's Joey Penis, right?
First of all, Danhausen looks like a very pretty man in a dress, so fuck you for that.
But if it's not Danhausen, it's Joey Penis.
I actually, you know what's really funny is he said that and I was going to post a Joey Ryan picture. And I don't know, man. If I had to say I really had a man crush on somebody, I don't know.
Bret Hart.
I don't know, man. I don't know if I really have a man crush on any wrestler, to be 100% honest. Do you guys got man crushes on anybody that you're willing to share on this episode?
I used to kind of have a band crush on Owens.
Okay.
Because I would buy fucking anything of his. Like, it's been a while since I've counted my shirts, but I want to say he might be in the lead. Because there was a period that he's just popping out shirts left and right. It's in between him and Gargano. But Gargano hasn't come out with a lot. Especially not like Kevin Owens has. But I've kind of fell off that. I can't think of any other wrestler that I'd have a man crush on. Maybe Danhausen-ish, but
told you he's a very beautiful man in a dress.
I'm actually racking my brain, and I don't think I do. But I'm
sure. Know I got one. I know who my man crush is. I know exactly who it is. Effie. Effie made me just feel special when he held me. I don't know, just something about him.
Oh, the conversation escalated quickly.
Hey, man, you know, it's content. Just creating content.
While we're on the subject of Danhausen, please pay him $10 to do cameo-style video. Can we get the $10,000? Can we do a square? And I kind of want to see Danhausen do a square. So.
He's not going to get that. That's a lot of cameo videos for him to do, dude. That's 1,000 videos he'd have to do. I don't see that happening.
I don't either, but if I can add a few to it and get Cloaker, I'm going to do it.
So right now, Stash Pages has a combo. You get a Nick Gage shirt that says MDK Eastern Block. It's a pretty cool design. An MDK All Fucking Day patch. An MDK Snapback, which I know, Justin, you don't like. They also have a beanie option. And then the MDK flag for $69.
Going back to WrestleMania, there are no, you'll see where I'm coming from this. There are two shows outside of AIW that I'm sad that they're canceled.
Is Effie's Big Gay Brunch one of them?
That is one of them, and the other one is For the Culture.
That'd been good. There was a lot of good stuff, man. WrestleMania was shaping up to be real good.
Yeah.
Gaytanic Panic with Gangrel against fucking Warhorse and fucking Ascension. Oh, that'd have been a banger. A fang banger. Oh, man.
I wanted what was starting to build up with that whole thing with Effie and Nick Gage when they announced that Nick Gage was bi-curious.
Dude, that was so great. And then, Nick Gage was like, hey, man, send me a message. And then somebody was like, MDK, maybe dudes kiss. I was like, yes! So great.
Phage Action Show might have been, like, another runner-up that I'm sad that we're not going to have, because that just sounded like it was going to be fucking hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, that could have been a lot of fun, too. Man, there was so much fun stuff planned. It's a bummer. Hopefully they reschedule it. I've heard rumors that they might reschedule it for like SummerSlam or some other time. I don't know. Another big weekend. So hopefully they do that. Hopefully they can get some of that stuff. I love the fact that all those companies announced all the matches they were going to have, because now they can't. They say they can't take place. But AIW is like, no, we're not announcing anything because all that shit's still going to happen.
Yeah, they're going to. I mean, outside of Eric Stevens.
Yeah.
And possibly Ice Train. I don't know if Ice Train's going to do anything that's not geared around that weekend, but you never know.
We're hitting over an hour, so do you want to wrap it up?
Yeah, probably a good idea. Before we wrap it up, though, Justin, why don't you tell everybody where they can find Wrestling Cheer?
I don't need to tell myself where to find it. I'm the only one listening now.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
And you know what? It's still a bigger audience than WrestleMania, motherfucker.
Oh.
Anyway.
No, Zach's going to listen. He said he'd listen. He was all excited for this episode. So Zach, shout out to you, Zach.
Zach knows how to find Wrestling Cheers anyway, too. So, for those who don't know, you can find Wrestling Cheers on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Facebook.com/WrestlingCheers, Twitter.com/WrestlingCheers, Instagram.com/WrestlingCheers. You can rate, review, and subscribe to Wrestling Cheers on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Podbean. Wrestling Cheers. podbean.com, and I'm at heavyset330 on all the social media.
All right, you can find me on Twitter at pwcheek. You find me on Facebook and on Instagram at jhawk1539. Of course, you can find this podcast on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at notready4ptw. And Charles, take over from here.
Our email is notready4ptw@gmail.com. And you can also check out our podcast friends, Wrestling Cheers,
right.
Pod Van Dam, the Super Fantastic Podcast. Hopefully they got a Super Chantastic episode coming up soon. I've been dying to get back into that. Also check out our other non-podcast friends, Good Company in Cleveland, Ohio, and Smoke and Jay's Barbecue. And you can find me on Twitter at Charlie_Butters. And I think that's going to do it for us this week. So, stay safe, everybody. Stay home. Hang out. Play video games. Do all that fun stuff.
Watch some wrestling. IWTV.com.
Watch a bunch of wrestling. Watch some NWA Power, some MLW Fusion. Give them some views. And later, losers.
And love that, Danhausen.
Waited till the second round to knock him out. They call me Big John Studd, my middle name Mud. Dirty water flow, too much for you thug. That can't stand the flood. What up, Doc? Hold big gun like Elmer Fudd. The show shot, mix the map, I'm unplugged. Learn, temperature's too hot for sunblock. Burn, playing with minds to get you state time. Locked behind 12 bars from a great mind. Killer bees in the club with his ladybug. Brought his sword to the dance floor to cut a rug. Love is love all day till they throw slugs and take another life in cold blood. Can't feel me? Till it's your blood. Murder race tremendous, crime is endless. Same shit, different day. Father forgive us. They know not what they do. All praises due. I'm big like EZ and Big Bamboo.
What's that? I didn't hear you.
Shut the fuck up.
Come on a little louder.
Shut the fuck up.
Everybody in the cabin now.
Shut the fuck up. Just shut the fuck up. Just shut the fuck up.
What's that? I didn't hear you.
Shut the fuck up.
Come on a little louder.
Shut the fuck up.
Everybody in the cabin now.
Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up.